All right, hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, May 4. May the 4th be with you. Great date, right? May the 4th be with you. It is May 4th, 2026. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. It is Monday. Back to it. Back to whatever it is we do on Mondays. I don't do a lot on Mondays. Actually, I do a lot. Mondays, I don't know. I was telling the client this the other day. Mondays are my favorite day of the week. They used to be my least favorite, but since I started taking Mondays off, which really has been for 20 years, Mondays have been my favorite days. And I don't know, I always feel sort of unique, a little unique on Mondays. Like most people have to work, and I am lucky that I do not. Or, you know, I work at other things, put it that way. I wouldn't say I'm lucky I'm not working, but it is nice. I try to take care of a lot of stuff on Mondays, try to catch up, try to, you know, sort of unwind a little bit from the weekend, even though the weekends are great, but sometimes they can be a little hectic, so Mondays always are nice to kind of, you know, get settled back in. But I'm going to be very busy today. I got a lot of stuff to do. My, you know, I've shared before, my father is now in a home. And we've been trying to, or I have been trying to, or, I mean, my brother helps me a little bit, but his situation is a little different. He doesn't quite live here, so it's harder for him. So I'm not mad at him. But regardless, it's just been quite a process of unwinding my parents and now my father's life. And I've shared about it many times in this podcast. It's tough. And luckily, we haven't had a huge restriction on time. So I've been sort of taking it piece by piece, a little bit here, a little bit there. But unfortunately, we had one of those. Usually, I would probably call them one of the moments that usually push most people into the next phase, which is selling. We've been trying to hold on to the house, hoping maybe the market will, not that the market is bad, but, you know, listen, we'll take anything we can get. And so we've just been sort of biding our time, and of course, I think I talked about it in the podcast, we had a big water leak. It's the big water leak that usually gets us, right? And so we had the big water leak, and then of course, had all the toilets replaced, and that was about $5,000, and now I'm like, we probably need to sell this place. My dad's like, why don't we sell the place? I said, all right. So I'm in a meeting with some people this morning, a buddy of mine, in fact, who sold our other house, and talked to him about putting this house up on the market. You know, there could be, you know, when we sold our other house, I had an idea of what I was hoping to sell it for, and we ended up selling it for that. I have an idea what I want to sell this house for, and I will find out in a little while if that is a reasonable price. Because there is always, you know, what I want, and then there's reality. And anything that we get from selling this house is only a plus. But, you know, greed can slip in a little bit, get a little greedy. So, you know, I'm going to go meet with them, see what they have to say. They went and looked at the house. It's a beautiful house. You know, we live at the beach, and they're not making any more beach. And seems to be a huge desire for people to live at the beach. And I get it. And of course, we live just to the south of New York City. A lot of people are leaving the city. We have our population here in the town where I live, in this area, really has, I won't say it's doubled because I don't know that, but I will say that when I moved here in 1994, this place was in the winter of dead, like dead. There was no business. I mean, you know, there was a couple little places here and there, but I remember one of the first jobs that I had when I came here was to sell open flags. You know, when this was the kind of community that when you were open, you put a flag out that said open. And my dad's like, why don't you try selling open flags? I was like, all right. And I would go door to door selling these red, white, and blue open flags. And they were really, you know, a lot of people used them. Actually, it was not, I mean, I don't know. I don't think I could raise a family on those, but it was something. It was something when I first moved here. I was a shell of myself when I got here. It was really bad. And, you know, anything would help. So, but yeah, and since then we've, you know, a ton of people have moved here, especially after the housing crisis. You know, it's just really gotten wild. And so we sold our other house for a good chunk, nice profit, but lived in it for 20 years. So, you know, that's, I think, right on schedule. So we'll see. But, you know, I have to remind myself that I am not a real estate agent, right? I am a hairdresser. Metal church. Interesting. I was watching some reels or something, and this guy was like, guess this song, and it was like, and I was like, oh, that's Metal Church. I would know that song anywhere. It reminds me of when I you know, was definitely young, 18 probably, and I had moved to San Diego and, you know, missed my girlfriend and all that. So moved back to Albuquerque, moved into an apartment with my buddies Mason, Jeff, and they were metalers. And I was, you know, I was more, you know, I love Metallica. I loved all that stuff. But, you know, Metal Church, Anthrax, Sacred Reich, all these bands, they weren't quite in my wheelhouse. But moving back with those guys, we definitely got into that scene and started a band, the Candlemakers. And... oh, it was an interesting time, man. It was like the beginning of addiction, the beginning of my alcoholism, the beginning of just complete, utter chaos. Three guys living in an apartment, washing cars, partying every night, playing metal. Good times. Yeah, so anyway, I thought I would come upstairs and see if I could, you know, get in the routine of doing this podcast. And You know, I've had an interesting, you know, I probably share about it in the podcast, but I've had an interesting few weeks. And, you know, sometimes when I have that sort of kind of interesting few weeks, in the moment, I mean, it's interesting, right? And I'm sort of going through it. But it isn't until about 3 or 4 weeks past or, you know, into the moment, right, that I can start to reflect and realize, you know, whether this, you know, was kind of a tough time or it wasn't really no big deal. Did I expect to be going through this kind of thing? And I've sort of been going through that. And especially last week, I had, so in the last few weeks I've had, and I've, you know, like I said, I talked about it in this podcast. I had my buddy tapped his watch when I shared. I had one of my sponsors decide they want to go to another sponsor or sponsee to another sponsor because of some personal issues. And I won't say it on this podcast, but I could see from a newcomer's point of view how that might be important. But from my point of view, that has nothing to do with recovery. It's a great reason to get out of a sponsor, right? It's a great reason to maybe stop going to a meeting, right? It's a wolf. But you know, as a sponsor, I you know, we don't own anybody, and I don't want to try to have that kind of relationship where, you know, this is what you're going to do. I'm just a guy trying to help, right? And if somebody says they want to find a new sponsor, I'm like, absolutely, man, go for it. But, you know, I guess the reality is inside, it kind of bummed me out because I really like the guy. And I also have spent a lot of time, you know, with the guy, coming over to my house, hanging out with, you know, meeting my kids and stuff. And, you know, just been a great addition to my recovery and my sort of circle of friends and stuff. And when he said that he was going to he had found another sponsor, I was like, yeah. But inside, I was hurt. I shouldn't be, right? There's no reason for that. I should be proud of him. But at the same time, you know, I also can realize that it's, you know, it's probably for that reason. It's not really a good reason. It reminds me of a lot of my old sort of thinking on why, you know, I've made some of the choices that I have made, because in back of my little brain, I had a justified reason, and I'm not always sure that it was. But I've changed sponsors. You know, my first sponsor was Ron M. He told me I'm going to be your temporary sponsor, and I was like, great. And he was great. He was great for doing exactly what he did, which was introducing himself, shaking my hand, introducing me to people, breaking the ice for me, right? Because at that time, I was living in an ice cube. It was locked in, frozen. And he melted it and broke it apart and allowed me to come out. And, you know, where I couldn't say, hey, my name is Tom, nice to meet you, he would say, hey, this is Tom, this is Mike. And I would say, hey, this is Tom, it's nice to meet you. So, you know, it was the laying of the coat across the puddle. It was what I needed to kind of get into this recovery program and, you know, this group of people. And at some point, and I don't really remember why, I know I was going to a lot of meetings, and I remember Mike R. was really, you know, he memorized the preamble, right? And so for a person like me at that time, I was like, oh, that's cool. Never memorized the preamble, or at least never, you know, speak the preamble from memory. You know, always read it. We're not that great. We're not that special. But he did it, and I thought it was awesome. And so I remember I wanted Mike R. to be my sponsor. And Ron M., I was like, how am I going to tell Ron M.? And I remember going to Mike R. and saying, I'd like you to be my sponsor. I like what you say. I like hearing what you have to say. And so he goes, you know, that's fine, but you got to tell Ron M. that you're going to be changing sponsors. And I was like, oh, my God. I can't do that. I'm going to break Ron M's little heart. Right? It's not the case. It's not the case. And when I finally did, Ron M was like, yeah, absolutely, brother. No problem, you know. Good luck. I'll still see you. And but I remember it was very tormenting. And so this, you know, when my buddy came to me and said, listen, I'm getting a new sponsor. Or actually, he didn't even say it. I said, are you getting a new sponsor? He said, yeah. And I said, okay. You know, neutral face, no problem. But like I said, inside it bummed me out. And then he was continuing to text me every morning, like, and a lot of these people do now. That didn't used to happen when I first came into the program, these text change and these good mornings and, you know, how you doing, or have a great day and all this stuff. And you know, a lot of these new people like to do that. They text and all that stuff. And that's cool. But, you know, he decided he's going to get a new, or has a new sponsor, but he's texting me every morning. And I was like, well, what are you texting me for, right? Like, I'm dealing with, you know, it never seems to surprise me how there's these pockets of selfish sickness still in my spirit, in my life. And it doesn't take much to expose one. And this sort of did. It was a series of events, right? Having him tell me that. And then the other day when my buddy Rich tapped on his watch, you know, like I was talking too long and I was like annoyed. And so I've been sort of wallowing in self-pity and justified resentments. And it's not been very good. I've been a little sick, a little lost, a little on the outskirts, on the edge, on the fringe, in the margins, right? All of that. And, you know, at one point I wasn't going to go to the Friday night meeting because of what Rich did. At one point I wasn't going to respond back to my... In fact, I had the whole thing. I was going to say, listen, man, you know, I'm not your sponsor. Stop texting me. You know, that thought even crossed my mind. And all of these thoughts and behaviors and justified resentments create one thing, which is more fear, right? And I've spent my whole, you know, whether I knew it or not, but I've been working on this program in the end for one thing is to remove fear from my life. And, you know, the justified resentment thing is always interesting because I can get them. They don't last as long. These two lasted a little bit longer because last week I did not go to the Friday night meeting, like I said, because I didn't want to. I wasn't going to speak too long, right? Or I was going to time myself, or I was going to, you know, tell Rich to go F himself or something, right? I was definitely living in the, I was not in the hands of God for sure. And I was really building a resentment up towards the guy that wanted to change sponsorships because, you know, I got my feelings hurt. And so, you know, I've been living sort of in this for a couple of weeks, I suppose it's been now. And I think there was something else that was bugging me that I can't really... Oh, the parking was a thing. There was a few little things that, you know, exposed that I'm not, my armor isn't as strong. I don't have the best armor on right now. And I've been wallowing a little bit in some self-pity. And so Friday, I decided to go back to the meeting, right? You know, that was the meeting that I got the tapping on the watch, and I was like, I'm going to just go, and I'm not going to share, you know, those thoughts. I think we can all relate. And so I went to the meeting on Friday, and of course, I saw another friend of mine, and I was like, are you speaking? He goes, no, so-and-so speaking, M1. And I'm like, oh, cool. And so I was sitting on this, and this is how kind of weird it can get for me. I don't know if anybody can relate, but, you know, usually when I go to this meeting, I sit in this one place. I think we all sort of, and, you know, for my area, this is a, you know, our meetings are pretty small compared to like New Jersey and New York and wherever, you know, these big cities, they have these huge meetings that have sort of different sort of rules and stuff. But our meetings are, you know, small town, you know, 5, 10, you know, 15 at the most. At least at this meeting. There's some other meetings that get pretty big. But for this meeting, you know, 5, 10, 15 people would be a lot. And so we all, I think, sort of recognize, oh, so-and-so usually sits there. This is where I usually sit. And I just, that even my seating was, it felt weird. And I was talking to somebody and I said, let me, you know, and another friend of mine, of course, right? And we were talking about NASCAR. So I actually ended up crossing to the other side of the room and sitting and talking to him. And then M1 came in and he came over and shook my hand. And he, I could tell, you know, I can tell that he missed our relationship. You know, it was a, we're good friends. And so he came over and he's like, you know, talking to me about fear and stuff. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, yes. And I said, you know, because we were doing a meeting on Sundays. And when he told me he was going to get a new sponsor, he said, you know, can I keep this book? And I was like, of course. Meaning I'm not going to be back. And I think in his mind that since he decided to get a new sponsor, he was no longer welcome. And honestly, I didn't say that he was still welcome at the time. I let him go. But when I saw him on Friday, I'm like, you know, you can still come to this, to the our Sunday meeting. He's like, I can? I was like, of course. And so right then, that solved one of the things I've been carrying around. You know, I could have handled that a little differently. I could have, like, just ignored him or just gave him a quick, you know, and lived in my resentment and lived in my negativity and lived in my fear and just sort of shushed him off. But I didn't. I was like, why? Because I like him, right? I like him. And this, my disease, this addiction, alcoholism, the self-centeredness, all that shit, it doesn't want me to continue to have that friendship. It wants me to isolate. It wants me to not talk to him. It wants me to not go to the meeting. And of course, you know, we chatted and it was great. And he ended up sitting up front. And at, in the meantime, I saw my buddy Rich, who I was still annoyed at, right? This disease didn't want me to address that or, you know, acknowledge him. And then of course we made eye contact and I waved and he waved at me and it was over. It was over. The resentments were gone. I was at peace. And thank God. Right, because, and I don't know how many times I've talked about it, but this disease doesn't want me to be sober. It doesn't want me to live. It doesn't want me to exist in the way that I like to exist. It wants me to live in fear and self-centeredness, and it doesn't want me to go to meetings, and it wants to push me out, and I've fallen for it before, and I've talked about it. You know, it's the number one thing that takes down people in recovery is this self. And it took me down the first time and I drank and I've made a note, I will not fall for this again. And I had sort of started falling for it again. And it just exposed, man, this is a, you know, one of the greatest things about this program and we've all heard it, but it's one day at a time. And that is where I am safe, right? And as soon as I start projecting and reflecting again, I get myself into these weird situations that are not healthy. And I just, you know, I don't want to do that again. And so this weekend was really cool because, one, I got to put a lid on some of these things that were really not worth giving as much energy that I had given to it. And so I got to sort of clean up some of these wounds and shut down those fucking devils, right? Those demons. Because as soon as I saw my buddy M1 and shook his hand and we chatted, the resentment was like, all right, we'll pack it up. We'll meet again and walked out. And then, of course, waving to my buddy who had tapped his watch, that resentment was over. We didn't talk, but, you know, it was over. And I was back at peace and it was a great meeting. My buddy, he did a great share. And he talked about, you know, fear and how, you know, he didn't realize what a role it played in his life and what a role it still plays in mine, right? I'd shared about earlier, and I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, about I've been dealing with a lot of self-pity. You know, that falls into it, right? You know, I've created a lot of, you know, acting scenes, right, where I'm the lead actor and so-and-so does this and I do that and so-and-so did this. And it's like it's a waste of time. You know, it's never like, oh, so-and-so tapped his watch and maybe I should say, hey, possibly did I talk too long, right? Maybe I shared too long. You know, maybe this is my fault. That thought never came to mind. It was like, you know, who the fuck is he to tap his watch at me, right? And I am nothing special. And I have to keep reminding myself that. But it was really, you know, and it's sometimes I don't realize it until it's over. But it had been on my shoulders. I've been carrying too much. And I'm really glad that I went to the meeting on Friday. I'm so glad because, you know, of course, you know, we're going to have our meeting again on Sunday, which is great, even though both of them had to cancel because they had other commitments at church. And another buddy of mine who's sort of new, he came over and we had a great chat about all of this, right? The demons and all this stuff. And it was really cool. And so it was nice. Had a little closure. So it was a great weekend. I just thought I would share about it. It is real. I'm starting the week off fresh. And yeah, so that's what's going on. Let me read the daily reflections. I got a busy day today. I got to go, you know, talk to people about selling my dad's house. And that is, you know, I have to be careful, you know. And then I'm going to go up and see my dad and tell him, you know, what I've learned. So, all right. Oh, let's do it this way. I'm sorry. I got the app. I always forget about the app. Daily reflections. Entirely honest. Okay. All right. May 4th. We must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long and happily in this world. Very relevant, right? Alcoholics Anonymous, page 73, 74. Honesty, like all virtue, is to be shared. It began after I shared my whole life story with somebody. In order to find my place in the fellowship, later I shared my life in order to help the newcomer find his place with us. The sharing helps me learn honesty in all my dealings and to know that God's plan for me comes true through honest openness and willingness. That's right. That is right. Oh, my goodness. Very true. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you letting me share. I'm going to try to be honest today and just keep my feet, you know, under me, stay in the day, stay in the moment, try to recognize the part that I play so that I cannot exist like that and clean that stuff up and, you know, move on. All right. Well, listen, thank you so much. Have a great day, and I'll catch you later. Bye. Come on!